Enough to Crush Your Veins by Dr. Denmark, read by Is Sweden. Part 7. Jeff tries to sleep on the flight, but he can't sit comfortably, and every time he shifts, it's a reminder of last night. It's not exactly unwelcome, but it's uncomfortable and awkward. He has a window seat, though, so mostly he just watches the clouds and thinks as little as possible. He's getting a cab home from the airport to save his parents wasting half a day wrestling with traffic this close to the holidays, so he knows he has time to get himself together before he has to see them. He arrives in Toronto at lunchtime, and the airport is so busy that he has to wait almost 40 minutes for his bags to arrive. He sends a sympathetic glance to the family next to him, who have a little girl about Joey's age. She's about to lose it from boredom, Jeff can tell. He pulls faces at her until she laughs, and her mom, who looks exhausted, smiles gratefully at him. It's a good distraction, but it makes him miss Joey more than he already did. The cab driver helps Jeff carry his bags to the house, so Jeff tips him well. Nobody's home, but there's a sandwich for him on the counter, and a note from his mom saying they went to the grocery store. Jeff thinks about switching on his cell phone. He could text Libby and tell her what happened, but he doesn't want anyone to know in case they don't understand. So he carries his bags up to his room and decides to nap. He collapses into bed, jeans still on, and falls asleep almost instantly. Honey, Jeff lurches back to awareness with his mom shaking his shoulder. Hey, Jeff says, yawning. It's almost 5, his mom says, stroking his hair. I know you had an early start this morning, but if you don't get up, you won't sleep tonight. Sure, Jeff says, rolling back over and pulling his pillow closer. No, Jeff, she says firmly. Up. Now. Jeff rolls his eyes, but sits up. I just finished finals yesterday, Mom, he says. I'm pretty sure I'll sleep fine, no matter how long I nap for. Well, come help make dinner, she says. You're only home for 3 weeks, honey. Your dad and I aren't going to let you sleep away your vacation. I'm asking Andrea if I can stay at her place, Jeff grumbles. But he's up now, and he follows his mom into the kitchen. Hey, kid, his dad says, ruffling his hair like he's still Joey's age. How are your finals? Okay, I guess, Jeff says, shrugging. He takes an orange out of the fruit bowl on the kitchen counter and starts to peel it. He's not really hungry, but it gives him something to do with his hands. My professors will post my grades online next week. I'm sure you did fine, his dad says. Jeff shrugs. He eats a couple of orange segments, but it makes his stomach turn, so he leaves it unfinished on the counter. I'm going to go work out for a while, Jeff says. If that's okay? Sure, his mom says, if you want. But I wasn't joking about helping with dinner. Be back here in an hour and a half. Sure, Jeff says, and heads upstairs to change. He works out until his muscles ache and he can't think about anything else. He can't really decide what's worse, thinking that Eric didn't want him at all, or knowing that Eric wanted him, but only as a one-time thing. Either way, he decides, it sucks, and he needs to move on. Jeff wakes up early the next day and decides to work out before breakfast. It helped him get through the night before, after all. He digs through his bags for his iPod, but it's not there, and, far too late, Jeff remembers that it's probably still in the SUV. His SUV. He considers turning on his BlackBerry so he can listen to the music that's saved on there, but it's probably better to leave that off all vacation. It's got an American SIM in it now, and he doesn't want to pay the roaming charges. By the time he's finished working out, it's still only 7:30, so he borrows his mom's car and drives over to Walmart and buys a cheap prepaid phone to use when he's home. It just makes sense. Now that he's going to be living alone, he's not going to have money to waste. He stops for coffee at Timmy's and finally feels a little more like himself. He grabs a few donuts for his mom and dad and buys a bag of good coffee, planning to surprise them. "You look a little more cheerful this morning," his mom tells Jeff when he gets home. "Yeah," Jeff says. "Sorry about yesterday. I was just... yeah." Jeff really isn't going to actually tell her what was wrong. "You're allowed to have a bad day, sweetie," she tells him. "You went to Timmy's." Jeff hands her the small box of donuts. "I was out anyway," he says. "I wanted a prepaid cell phone, so I'm not running up roaming charges every time I'm home." "We don't mind," his mom says, taking a bear claw. "Go put the coffee on." "It just seemed like a good idea," Jeff says. "If you're sure," his mom says. "But won't that make it hard for your school friends to call you?" Jeff shrugs. "I'll email them my new number or something." He really doesn't want to talk to anyone, anyway. "Okay," his mom says. "I just don't want you to think you have to." She puts a hand on Jeff's shoulder and gives it a quick squeeze. "Now, go tell your dad there's breakfast. Are you coming to church?" "I don't think so," Jeff says. "Whatever you want," his mom says. "But there's a new family who's started coming. They have a son your age, and his mom told me he's home from college and just broke up with his boyfriend." "Mom!" Jeff buries his face in his hands. "I just thought it would be nice for you to meet some boys your own age," she says, her face the picture of innocence. "Did Andrea put you up to this?" Jeff asks. "Jeff," his mom says, "I know you had a tough couple of months." "I'm not talking about this with you," Jeff says, pouring himself a cup of coffee. He almost reaches for a second mug, thinking about cream and sugar, before he remembers where he is and that he never needs to make Eric his coffee ever again. "Can I at least give this boy your email address?" she asks. "He's new in town, and it would be so nice for someone to be able to show him around." "No," Jeff says, and heads upstairs as fast as possible, planning to hide in his room until his parents are gone. By the time Jilly and Ben arrive home from college on Wednesday, Jeff feels like he's been hiding in his room for days. He emails Libby and Matt with his new number, and then, when Libby bombards him with texts asking what happened, he ignores that phone too. Jeff is never going to be comfortable with how well Libby can read him. He kills time by taking over cooking in the evening. His dad's impressed, but it makes his mom press her lips together tightly, and Jeff can almost see how much she wants to have him talk about everything. It's fine, though. He's fine. "They let you back in the country then, loser?" Ben asks, letting himself into Jeff's room while Jeff lies on his bed, staring at the ceiling. "How does it feel to be the only one of us who didn't leave Canada to go to college?" Jeff asks, not looking at Ben. There are still spots on the ceiling where there used to be glow-in-the-dark stars. Jeff's trying to count them. "How does it feel to be the only one who didn't get a scholarship?" Ben asks, dropping down next to Jeff. "I have a scholarship," Jeff says. "A partial scholarship. For academics," Ben says, elbowing Jeff. "Where's that ever going to get you?" Jeff manages a laugh. "Well," he says, "I have valuable experience in childcare now." "Shooting for the trophy husband job?" Ben asks. "Absolutely," Jeff says. But the words feel almost painful to say, like they're sticking in his throat and choking him. "Okay," Ben says. "Well, if you can tear yourself away from your busy schedule of doing fuck all, me and Jilly were going to go play shinny with Matt and Dan. Want to come? You can be in goal or whatever." "No thanks," Jeff says. "Whatever," Ben says. "Well, come and do spins or whatever. The new outdoor rink is fucking huge. I'm sure you can find a dude who wants to blow the town's Olympic hero." Jeff rolls onto his side and stares at the wall. "Until I fall on my ass when my knee craps out and I have to have more surgery," he says. "I think I'll stay here." "Suit yourself," Ben says, and rolls off the bed and onto his feet. By the time dinner rolls around, Jeff is the kind of bored where everything is terrible and he can't make himself do anything that would entertain him. He sits at the counter and watches his dad grate carrots for a salad. He should offer to help, but he doesn't. Jilly and Ben arrive just as dinner's ready and carry the conversation, talking about college and their teams and their friends. Jeff picks at his dinner listlessly, not really hungry, and not really listening to what anyone is saying. "You haven't eaten much," Jeff's mom says. "Are you feeling okay?" It's a good excuse. So Jeff shrugs and lets his mom feel his forehead to check for a fever. "Maybe it's just a cold," she says. "You don't feel hot." "May I be excused?" Jeff asks. "Sure, honey," his mom says. "Do you want some tea?" Jeff just shakes his head and heads upstairs. He actually sleeps pretty well. He doesn't remember what he dreams about, but he wakes up wrapped around a pillow and feeling happier than he has in days. It's almost 9, but when he heads downstairs, only his dad seems to be around. Jilly and Ben are still asleep, and his mom's at work. "You look better, kid," his dad says. "I was going to make pancakes." "I can help," Jeff says, and heads to the pantry. "I like the new culinary skills," his dad says. "I should have made you kids learn when you were younger, then made you cook whenever you were home, or made you sleep in the garage." Jeff's mood wavers as he remembers just how surprised and happy Eric had looked the first time he came home to a dinner Jeff cooked for him. "I guess I had to learn sometime," Jeff says. "I'm proud of you," his dad says. He pulls Jeff into a quick hug. "Your mom's worried about you, though." "I'm fine," Jeff says. His dad smiles. "And I'm sure if you say that a few more times, you'll believe it." "Are we doing anything today?" Jeff asks. "As far as I know, your sisters are coming tomorrow night, but until then, there's nothing you can't miss. His dad pulls a face. I'm planning to be busy when your mom decorates the tree tonight. I think after the 15th time we almost ended up divorced over me doing it wrong, I realized that was a great time for me to do the last shopping for Christmas dinner. Jeff laughs and feels his good mood returning. He really has missed his family. I was thinking of maybe going skating, Jeff says. Is your knee up to it? His dad asks. Jeff reaches down and almost unconsciously rubs it. Yeah, he says. I've been a couple times recently. Want some company? His dad asks. Sure, Jeff says. They work together to make breakfast. Jeff's dad makes the batter, and Jeff actually makes the pancakes. It feels a lot like home. Once the kitchen is clean again, and Jeff's showered and dressed, he and his dad head to the outdoor rink. There's a sign in the car park hailing it as the largest outdoor rink in the Greater Toronto Area. Jeff's new phone isn't fancy, but it can take a picture. So he makes his dad take one while he poses beside it and texts it to Matt and Libby. The rink itself isn't fancy, just a huge empty sheet of ice with only one or two skaters. It's late morning, and the schools don't let out until tomorrow. And so, for the first time in almost 2 years, Jeff really has room to skate. His dad laughs at him, but Jeff just takes off, building as much speed as he can, and launches himself into a triple toe loop. He lands solidly, with only a slight twinge from his knee. He can hear his dad's applause, and that's better than the roar of the sold-out audience when he got second at Nationals 2 years before. They stay at the rink for hours. Jeff alternates between skating with his dad, talking about the classes he took, and even a little about Joey and Eric, and heading off to open ice, where he warms up enough to run through some basic skills. He skates little sequences, half-remembered snippets from routines that won him medals, sent him all over the world, and eventually to the Olympics, where he skated on home ice. On their way home, Jeff's dad takes them through the Timmy's drive-thru, and Jeff orders a large hot chocolate and a 10-pack of Timbits. Do you miss it? His dad asks. Miss what? Jeff asks. He takes a sip of the hot chocolate, and kind of wishes he'd gotten whipped cream on top. It's that kind of a day. The skating, his dad says. You looked good. Your knee's doing better than anyone thought it would. You could probably get back to it if you want it. Jeff thinks about it, and his dad lets him. A mostly comfortable silence settles over the car for the rest of the drive. Jeff thinks about skating, about how much he loved it, about the chance for a medal at Worlds. About maybe even going to Sochi. Then he thinks about Duke and his econ classes and his friends and not having to watch what he eats and only working out when he wants to and not being tired all the time anymore. Jeff answers just as they pull into the garage. I think I'm good, he says. I moved on. It's true, he realizes later. He moved on. Skating was his life for almost as long as he can remember. But he found new things, and even though the idea of an Olympic medal is a tempting one, trying for it would mean giving up things he's not letting go of. It's almost a comforting thought. If he moved on from skating, he can easily move on from Eric. Jeff turns on his BlackBerry just long enough to open the address book and finds Ed the bartender's number. "Hey, it's Jeff. Back for the holidays. Are you busy tomorrow?" he texts. He gets a reply a few minutes later when he's settled in the den, watching reruns of Christmas specials with Jilly. "Did you change your number, Jeff Skinner the figure skater? And, want to get lunch and see where the day takes us?" Jeff grins. "Ah," Jilly says, throwing a pillow at him, "can you not sext your boyfriend while I'm in the room? I'm never going to be able to watch a Canes game again." Jeff feels himself blush, and his stomach twists. "I'm not dating Eric," he says. I met a guy when I was back for American Thanksgiving. We're having lunch tomorrow. That's all." "Good," Jilly says. "Stahl is really not that hot, and he's old." Jeff has to bite his lip to keep from telling Jilly she's wrong. Even if he and Eric are never going to be anything, he's still allowed to think Eric's hot. "I can drive into the city. Just tell me where and when you want to meet," Jeff texts back. All he gets in return is a smiley face. But Jeff guesses Ed will figure something out. He borrows his dad's car to get to the city the next day. It's weird to be driving a Prius after spending so long driving an SUV. His SUV. Jesus. About the time he gets off the freeway and actually hits the city, he starts getting nervous. He was too hungover to really think about how weird this was last time he went out with Ed. But now, at 11 on a Friday morning, Jeff can't shake the feeling that everything about this is wrong. Except Ed is great, and Jeff had woken up to 3 texts about what they could do. And Ed is the only guy Jeff has ever really been on a date with. Jeff parks at Andrea's place and walks the 5 blocks to the restaurant Ed picked out. When he gets there, Ed is leaning against the wall, his hands jammed in his pockets, and a ridiculous knitted toque on his head. Whatever else Jeff thinks about this, he can't deny Ed is amazingly hot. "Well, hello there, Jeff Skinner, Canadian figure skating hero," Ed says, grinning. Jeff can't help but grin back. "Hey," he says, and leans in to kiss Ed quickly. It seems like the right thing to do. "I googled you," Ed says. "I know it was creepy, but I was curious." Jeff blushes. "I'm really not that interesting," he says. "I think you're pretty interesting," Ed says. "I'm not sure about the bit on your Wikipedia page, which says you sucked your thumb until you were 11. "Oh, God," Jeff says, burying his face in his hands. "My brother's favorite drunk hobby is fucking with my Wikipedia page." "So it wasn't true?" Ed asks. "Because that was adorable." He leans in to kiss Jeff again. "I want to know your secrets, Jeff Skinner," he says, almost against Jeff's lips. Jeff freezes. His secrets. He has too many of those. Ed pulls back quickly. "Oh, hey, sorry," he says. "That was too much, right?" "No," Jeff says quickly. "It's fine," Ed says, cutting Jeff off. "Why don't we go eat?" Jeff agrees happily, and they head into the restaurant, which is actually more of a cafe, selling all kinds of soups and salads and some amazing-looking cakes. They get seated at a tiny table towards the back, and Jeff stares intently at the menu, half deciding what he wants to eat, but half realizing that he has no idea what to say. So, Ed says finally, breaking the awkward silence, finals didn't kill you? Jeff blinks a couple of times. With everything that's happened since, finals feel like forever ago. I guess not. I mean, I'm still here, but, you know, I don't have my grades back yet, so... Yeah, Ed says. Well, some poor TA probably has 400 to grade, and shockingly, that's not something that happens overnight. Oh, Jeff says, I didn't mean, it's not like I'm complaining. It's just, you know, a fact. Right, Ed says. The awkward silence descends again, and absolutely nothing of the easy conversation they had when they met remains. They have a brief respite when a waiter comes to take their order, but after that, they don't even have menus to stare at. How's the bartending? Jeff asks. It's a job, Ed says, shrugging a little. Oh, Jeff says. And school? How's your master's going? Pretty good, I think, Ed says. I just picked my final project topic. What are you doing? Jeff asks. I'm taking macro next semester. Mathematical modeling of gender-based wage gaps, Ed says. I'm looking at whether a hierarchical linear model is really the best way to look at it. Wow, Jeff says. I mean, I basically sucked at the actual math part of econ, but that sounds really interesting. It's really not, Ed says, smiling a little. But I like it, and that's the main thing. No, really, Jeff says. Tell me about it. Ed launches into an explanation of his project, and Jeff can tell that it's really something he's passionate about. But Jeff wasn't joking about how hard he found the math parts of econ, and after a couple of minutes, Jeff is only following maybe one word in 10 that Ed says. Eventually, Ed cuts off in the middle of a sentence. It takes Jeff a moment to notice. I'm sorry, Jeff says. What were you saying? This isn't working, is it? Ed says. No, this is really interesting, Jeff says. I mean, some of it I don't really understand, but I'm only a freshman. I just took my first econ class. Your eyes are totally glazed over, Ed says. You're bored already. But that wasn't what I meant. This is weird, right? We could at least hold a conversation last time we got lunch. I'm so sorry, Jeff says. I'm being weird. It's not you. Ed laughs. It's fine, Jeff Skinner. That's kind of the point of dating. You go out with people, and sometimes you click, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes it's a hell of a lot easier to talk to someone when it's not a date. It's just friends having lunch. I don't know what's wrong with me, Jeff says. You're awesome and hot, and I was really looking forward to this. And you're good for my self-esteem, Ed says. It's fine. Seriously, it's not like I was pining away for you the last month. And this is far from the worst date I've ever been on. This one time, a friend of mine set me up on a blind date. Only, they never told me that the guy had just split up with his fiancée. He cried all over me and told me right out that he wanted to use me to get over his ex. Jeff bites his lip and tries not to laugh, but it's no good. Jeff giggles, and once he starts, he can't stop. Ed's grinning too, and just like that, the tension is broken. Oh God, Jeff says, trying to catch his breath. That's horrible. I mean, wow. You don't even make my top 10 terrible dates, Ed says. Seriously, You didn't suggest we see a movie and then take me to see the most grossly homophobic pseudo-comedy ever. And you didn't lie about your age and tell me you were 19 when you were actually still in high school. You're still not in high school, right? I'm really 19, Jeff says. You saw my driver's license. Awesome, Ed says. So, friends, then. Absolutely, Jeff says. This is a really great place, by the way. I come here pretty often, Ed says. They have some couches in the back where you can sit and have coffee and work. And they don't get mad if you hang out all afternoon and you've only spent $5. Just like that, the conversation is comfortable. Ed talks more about his classes, especially the ones with less math, that Jeff can at least start to understand. And Jeff tells Ed about Raleigh and about life at Duke. By the time they're splitting a slice of chocolate cake for dessert, Jeff feels like he's known Ed forever. It's nice. He's never had a lot of gay male friends. He mostly always hung out with the girls who he trained with. But there are some things that straight girls are never going to get. I slept with my boss, Jeff admits finally. Or, I guess, my ex-boss now. Except he was always more like a friend than a boss. Ouch, Ed says. Yeah, that's always fucking complicated. Pardon the pun. I don't know, Jeff says. We kissed once, and then he was getting back with his ex, and then we hooked up, and I have no idea what's going on. He thinks I'm too young. Yeah, Ed says. Not too young to fuck, though. It really wasn't like that, Jeff says. It was just, it happened. And he still doesn't want to be with you, even though he hooked up with you? Ed asks. I don't think so, Jeff says. I mean, he was pretty clear before. I left before he woke up. Ouch, Ed says. No offense, but that was kind of a dick move. I had to catch my flight, Jeff protests. Nah, Ed says. Still a dick move. I didn't exactly want to stick around to have him tell me how much of a mistake I was, Jeff admits. I mean, if it were me, Ed says, I'd want to hear him say it. I mean, even if he had said it was a mistake, at least then I'd know for sure. Jeff looks away, not wanting to meet Ed's eyes. But that's just me, Ed says lightly, breaking the tension. Maybe, Jeff says, and steals the last bite of chocolate cake. They hang out all afternoon, and Ed persuades Jeff to buy an ugly plaid shirt. I had a good time, Jeff says. Don't be a stranger, Jeff Skinner, Ed says, and kisses Jeff on the cheek. And tell me what happens with your boss. I love gossip. Jeff gets home, and Jilly almost pounces on him the second he gets through the door. So, she says, how was it? Did you get laid? Are you going out again? It was fine, Jeff says. We're just friends, though. Lame, Jilly says. Anyway, Mom just yelled at Ben for not spacing the lights on the tree evenly. Wanna go make her lose her shit by putting all the red ornaments on one half of the tree and all the gold ones on the other side? Jeff rolls his eyes. No thanks, he says. You are so boring, Jilly says. Duke made you boring. I'm going to go see if Dad wants to get started on the cookies, Jeff says. You're still the worst, Jilly says. Jeff's sisters and brother-in-law arrive that evening, and between his mom fussing over everyone and his dad trying to figure out exactly who wants what for dinner, and then who's going to do what when it's time to clear up, Jeff manages to fade into the background a little. He and Doug, Jen's husband, talk a little about hockey, and Jeff manages to talk about Eric and finish his dinner. It feels like a pretty massive achievement. This works until they're in the living room watching the last period of the Leafs-Isles game. "Honey," Jeff's mom says, "how was your date?" Jeff fights the attempt to flop forward onto the carpet like Joey when he's about to have a tantrum. "It wasn't a date," Jeff says. "It was a date when he went out," Jilly supplies. Then whoever it was realized how much of a loser Jeff is, and now they're just friends. It was really tragic. The worst thing is how sympathetic his mom looks when Jeff manages to face her. "I'm so sorry, baby," she says. Jeff looks around, and even Doug is smiling encouragingly at him. "It really wasn't a big deal," Jeff says. "I'm sure you'll find someone," his mom says. "Or he could get a cat," his dad says, his face perfectly blank. "Thanks, Dad," Jeff says. "No problem, kid," his dad says. "Now go get the cookies." Jeff happily takes the excuse and heads to the kitchen. Christmas Eve and his family is always the same set of yearly rituals. They have a long breakfast as a family, and then everyone disappears into their own rooms to wrap all the gifts. There's a flurry of running around looking for scissors or tape or extra gift tags, and of doors only open just far enough to hand over the desired item, making absolutely sure that none of the surprises are ruined. Jeff's favorite thing about Christmas is the presents, and not just getting them, but giving them too. He did all his shopping in Raleigh, and carted everything back home, though, so he mostly got everyone small things this year. He digs out the Duke hoodie he got for Ben, and underneath it, finds the envelope with the car title and the hockey tickets. He looks at it for a long time. It's pretty tempting to just put it away and forget he even has them, but it's a Leafs game, and pretty much his whole family would kill him if he did that. He wraps the rest of his gifts methodically, making sure to put the tags on right anyway. It had seemed funny at the time to get everyone something with the Duke logo on it, but now it seems kind of lame. He just finished wrapping the last of the gifts when his dad yells up at him, "Jeff, I was just going to get the last couple of things from the grocery store. Want to give me a hand?" "Sure, Dad," Jeff yells back. He scoops everything up and heads downstairs to put everything under the tree. "It's looking good," his dad says, standing in the doorway. "It always does," Jeff says. "Your mother likes Christmas to look a certain way," his dad says, only smiling a little. "As long as I don't have to help," Jeff says. "Stick to the cooking, kid," his dad says, putting an arm over Jeff's shoulder. "If you stay in the kitchen with me, you're safe." Jeff laughs, and they head to the grocery store. The lines are long, and most of the people there look pretty stressed. But Jeff's dad is obviously a pro at this, and it's pretty easy for Jeff to just follow his instructions. By the time they get home, Jeff's grinning and already making plans with his dad for how they're going to get everything ready for lunch tomorrow. They put the groceries away, and Jeff brews a pot of coffee. "Honey, is that you?" Jeff's mom yells from the living room. "No," Jeff's dad yells back. "We're here to rob the place." "Did you remember Margie and John are coming over on Boxing Day?" his mom yells. "Of course, honey," his dad yells back, rolling his eyes at Jeff and grinning. They've come over on Boxing Day for the last 15 years. Well, I was just checking, his mom yells, sounding a little put out. Jeff laughs. I missed you guys, he tells his dad. We're always here when you need us, his dad says. Unless your mom kills me for getting the wrong kind of craisins for the trail mix she has me make. Jeff helps make dinner again, and then, while his sisters and Ben are clearing up, he sits with his dad and prepares the vegetables for tomorrow's lunch. This is disgustingly organized, Andrea says. No, really. I swear, nobody else's family is like this. Well, if you don't want to eat before 5 tomorrow, Jeff says. You're so gross, Andrea says. You're basically turning into mini-dad. Since when do you even cook? I learned, Jeff says, concentrating on cutting carrots into absolutely uniform batons. Nobody says anything for far too long. You were cooking for that asshole? Jen asks, finally. It's suddenly clear to Jeff exactly how much his mom hates Eric when she doesn't even half-heartedly scold Jen for her language. Can we not do this? Jeff asks. Right? Ben says. No offense, dude, but I really don't want to hear about your sex life. Jeff flushes bright red. Okay, you, Jilly says. I think this conversation is over, Jeff's dad says firmly. You're all adults now, and you're entitled to your private lives. You had his poster on your wall when you were 14, his mom says. Okay, stop, Jeff says. I'm not talking about this. We're allowed to be worried about you, Jen says. You have no idea what you're talking about, Jeff says. Seriously, it's absolutely none of your business. Is he at least good in bed? Andrea asks. Oh, God, Jeff says. At the same time, his mom yells, Andrea! And on that horrifying note, Ben says, can we not ever talk about this again? Fine by me, Jeff says. They manage to finish the preparation for the meal without Jeff wanting to crawl under the table and hide. And when everyone heads into the living room to collapse in front of whatever movie they can find, Jeff takes the time to escape upstairs. He opens his laptop, planning to finally email Libby. But as he's describing his family's horrifying intrusion into his life, a new message pops up. It's from Sarah. Hey, Jeff. We let Joey open one gift before he went to bed tonight, and he picked yours. Thought you'd want to see this. Is your phone broken, BTW? Tried to call so Joey could say thank you. There's a file attached, and when he opens it, he finds a picture of Joey in his tiny Duke sweatshirt, smiling really wide. Jeff stares at it for a long time. Eric must have put a tree in the den since he left, and it doesn't look perfectly decorated like the one downstairs. Because not everyone's as obsessive as his mom. But Jeff can see some of the decorations that he and Joey made together. Eric is in the picture too, a little out of focus and off to the left, and Jeff reaches out and touches the screen. Finally, Jeff realizes he has to answer. Thanks, Sarah, and I got a new phone to use when I'm home. He pulls out his new cell phone and adds the number to the email. Whatever's going on with Eric and him, Jeff doesn't want to lose Joey, too. The envelope is still sitting on his nightstand, and Jeff impulsively grabs the tickets out of it and takes them downstairs. "Hey," Jen says, turning around, "what's with the lurking?" "Is everyone free on the 29th? Jeff asks. "Why, honey?" his mom asks. Jeff cringes a little. "The Canes are playing the Leafs," he says, "and Eric got tickets for us." Andrea and Jilly look at each other and start giggling. "Well," his dad says, "that was nice of him." "I'm not cheering for the Canes," Jen says. "We're going, though, right?" Doug asks. "Because I'd hook up with Eric Stahl for tickets to a Leafs game." "I know you would, honey," Jen says. Jeff lets out a little strangled groan. "Happy Christmas, kid," his dad says, grinning. Christmas Day itself is a good day. Jeff is too tied up in the presents and his family to really think about anything else. Ben, who's never really gotten past 5 years old when it comes to Christmas, drags him out of bed a little after 8. "Get up, loser," he says, jumping on Jeff's bed. "Fuck off," Jeff says, burying his face into his pillow. He's only just gotten the hang of sleeping past 7 again since he's not in charge of a little kid anymore. "Maybe Santa brought you a hot hockey player in your stocking," Ben says. "Or a hot hockey player in stockings," he adds, after a moment. "Whatever works for you." They end up in the living room, sipping at coffee or hot chocolate, and opening the gifts in their stockings. It's nothing big for anyone. Jeff gets some candy, a couple of books, an iTunes gift card, and a rainbow-striped whisk. He holds the whisk up and raises an eyebrow. "It's a kitchen essential," his dad says, shrugging. "It looks like it walked out of a pride parade," Jeff says. "I think it's cute," his mom says. "It's better than a P-flag bumper sticker," Jilly says. "And you can use it when you help me make the gravy," his dad says. Jeff rolls his eyes, but it's actually a lot of fun helping his dad with the dinner. His mom's not a bad cook, but his dad really enjoys it. And the more Jeff helps him, the more he sees why. "Okay, kid," his dad says a little before 10. "Are you all right keeping an eye on everything?" The turkey's in the oven, and that's pretty much all that's going on. So Jeff nods absently. "Your mom will come and yell if I'm not ready to leave for church in 5 minutes, so..." "It's all under control," Jeff says. "Seriously." "And you're sure you don't want to come?" his dad asks. "I promise your mother won't try and set you up with whoever this kid is." "I'm sure," Jeff says. "Okay, then," his dad says. "We'll be back at 1 at the latest. Probably earlier, but your mom will want to talk to everyone." "It's totally under control," Jeff says. Jeff spends the late morning in and out of the kitchen, keeping an eye on everything. Jilly, Ben, and Andrea go back to bed, and Erica heads out into the garage to shoot a few pucks at the net. Jeff makes some coffee and takes it into the living room for a drink, but Jen and Doug are already there. They're sharing a couch, and Jen has her feet in Doug's lap while she browses one of the books she was given for Christmas, and Doug plays some game on his phone. They look so comfortable, and Jeff can't stop thinking about what it was like to watch TV with Eric. They were never like Jen and Doug. It was never so overt. But it's the same kind of togetherness that Jeff can see in his sister and her husband. He thinks about what Ed said, about wanting to know for sure. Jeff pulls his phone out of his pocket and looks at it for a long time. He knows Eric's number by heart. But, in the end, Jeff just puts it away. It's Christmas morning, and Eric is with his family. Jeff's not going to intrude. His parents get home, and Jeff and his dad finish making the dinner. Jeff does end up using his whisk for the gravy, and he texts a quick picture to Libby. It's the kind of thing she'd get a kick out of. "Okay," Andrea says. "You're not a terrible cook, Jeffy. You can keep helping Dad." "Thanks," Jeff deadpans, but he has to bite his lip to keep from grinning when he sees the way his dad is looking at him with quiet pride. They sit around once the food is eaten and the dishes are done, and finally it's time to open the gifts. Everyone laughs at their Duke memorabilia, and Jeff is stunned to see the amount on the IKEA gift card from his parents. They said they were fine to use in the U.S., his mom assures him, and I checked online. There's no IKEA in Raleigh, but the one in Charlotte's only about 3 hours from you. "It's perfect," Jeff assures her. Jen and Doug get him IKEA gift cards, too, and Erica gets him a couple of books about economics, and Andrea gets him a stack of t-shirts from American Apparel. "Don't even think about exchanging them for a bigger size," Andrea says, as Jeff stares skeptically at them. "They're supposed to be tight." "Thanks," he says, "I guess." "You'll thank me when all the guys can't stop staring at how built you are," Andrea says dismissively. Jilly and Ben give him a joint gift, a Leafs hoodie. "So you don't go native," Jilly says. Jeff puts it on right away. They spend the rest of the afternoon sitting around and watching whatever movies happen to be on TV. CBC is showing a rerun of some miniseries about Don Cherry, which Erica tries to make them watch, but thankfully, she gets shouted down pretty conclusively. It's late when they all trudge up to bed, still full from lunch and exhausted from doing nothing. "Today was pretty awesome," Jilly says. "It really was," Jeff says. Boxing Day is more of the same. His mom's cousin Margie comes over with her husband John, and there's more food, and another gift each, and more watching bad television. "Oh hey," Ben says that evening, while Jilly is flipping through the TV channels and looking for something to watch. "The Canes are about to play the Devils." Jeff cringes a little, but everyone else agrees to it, so he just sits there while Jilly finds it on center ice. The pregame is just starting, and Jeff has to sit there and listen to the analysts talk about how Eric Staal has been on a tear in the 3 games leading up to the break, getting 7 points in 3 games, but also taking 16 minutes of penalties. Jeff might not be the greatest at math, but he can figure out when that 3-game streak happened. It's uncomfortable at first. Jeff doesn't even have to try. He can pick out Eric whenever he's on the ice. His mom and Jen are both giving him these looks. And more than once, Jeff considers pleading exhaustion and going to bed. But Jeff has met these guys, not just Eric. And by the time the Canes are taking a comfortable lead in the third, on the back of some great play by Cam and goals by Sutter, Ruutu, and Stewart, Jeff's invested. Things get dicey. The Devils manage to get 2 past Cam, and Jeff is on the edge of his seat, but the Canes hang on. Then, in the last minute, with the Devils' goalie pulled, Cam shoots the puck up the ice, Sutter chases it, and the Canes get the empty net goal for the win. Jen and Doug head to bed, and Jeff is just about to turn off the post-game, when suddenly they announce that the empty netter is being credited to Cam, and everyone sits back down. "Holy crap," Ben says. Jeff almost texts Eric to tell him to congratulate Cam, but he doesn't. He texts Libby instead. "Question mark?" Libby texts back. "Empty netter was Ward's," Jeff texts back. ! "We're in the car on the way back from the game. Hadn't heard. Dad's cheering so hard he might drive off the road." Jeff laughs. Jen and Doug leave early the next morning, and Andrea and Erica leave after lunch. Five people isn't exactly an empty house, but it still kind of feels that way. The Canes play again that evening, but the Leafs have a game too, and it's not even a discussion. They watch the Leafs lose embarrassingly to the Panthers, and Jeff can barely rein in his irritation when Ben starts talking shit about the uselessness of the Southeast Division and the lack of real fans in the South. He goes to bed early and has been asleep for a couple of hours at least when he's woken by his phone. He blinks stupidly at the screen for a couple of seconds, wondering who the hell would be calling him at 1 a.m. Then he actually looks at the number and realizes it's Eric. His heart beats wildly as he presses the button to take the call. "Eric?" Jeff can hear his voice shaking. "What the fuck did you do to him, asshole?" the voice on the other end of the phone says. "Oh," Jeff says. "I think you have the wrong number." "No, I fucking didn't, Jeff the babysitter," the voice says. "And I want to know why my brother is drinking himself into a stupor and trying to tell the bartender that love is a mistake." It takes a moment, but Jeff suddenly remembers who the Canes were playing tonight. The Penguins. "I haven't even spoken to him," Jeff protests. "Well, that might be the problem then," Jordan says. "Look, I don't give a shit about what's up with you two, but my mom couldn't stop talking about how great you were on Christmas Day, and Joey wouldn't take off that stupid Duke hoodie, and all the time Eric's looking like he wants to drown himself in the gravy. So whatever this dumb fight is about, fix it, because he's depressing me." Jordan hangs up, and Jeff is left just sitting there, wondering what the fuck just happened. But for the first time in months, he lets himself hope, just a little. It's probably a stupid thing to do, but Jordan said love, and Jeff can't help it. Jeff wakes up early the next morning and ends up in the garage shooting pucks at the net to burn off the nervous energy that means he can't sit still. He's jittery, and his stomach is twisting uncomfortably with anticipation. It's stupid, though. He's not going to see Eric for another day, and even then, it's only going to be on the ice, or maybe for a minute in the locker room. Nothing's going to happen. But his body isn't listening, so he shoots pucks at the net. He was so sure that Eric didn't want him. So sure. He heard it, what feels like forever ago. He heard Eric say he was too young. But they kissed, and it didn't seem like Jeff was too young the night they slept together. Jeff keeps shooting puck after puck, going over everything in his head, and trying to make himself remember. He thinks about everything Eric said, about hearing him talk to Jordan about finally having a chance, and then about Toby. But Eric's never talked about Toby since. Could he have been wrong? Is he really that stupid? "You really suck at that," a voice says from behind him, and he almost jumps out of his skin. "I quit hockey a long time ago, Jillian," Jeff says, shooting a puck at her instead. It goes wide and hits the wall by the door. "No excuse," Jilly says. "They'll revoke your Canadian citizenship if you're not careful. They'll make you watch basketball instead." "I think I'll be okay," Jeff says, turning back to the pile of pucks at his feet. He tries to roof it, but sends it about 3 feet too high. "Seriously," Jilly says, coming and pulling the stick out of his hands. "What did those pucks ever do to you?" Jeff just shrugs. "Oh God," Jilly says, rolling her eyes. "What's causing the extra man pain?" "Don't tell Mom," Jeff says. "So it's Eric angst," Jilly says. "I slept with him," Jeff says, wandering over to drop down on the battered couch that's been in here as long as Jeff can remember. "Yeah," Jilly says, "I figured. Unless you meant last night, in which case, phone sex isn't exactly sleeping with him." Jeff just looks at her. "No," he says finally. "Things were, I don't know, they were weird, and I kept thinking something was about to happen all fall, but it never did, and it messed with my head." Jilly's expression is tight. "It wasn't him," Jeff says, "I swear. It was the situation that was messing everything up, not Eric. But then we finally slept together the night before I came home." "You're such a fucking weirdo," Jilly says. "If you finally got laid, why have you been misery boy? And why the fuck did you even go on a date with someone else?" Jeff blushes. Telling his sister any of this is profoundly weird, but he needs to tell somebody. "Before," Jeff says, "before we had sex, he told me it didn't mean anything." "Ouch," Jilly says, but she takes a seat next to him and throws an arm around his shoulder. "Yeah," Jeff says. "So, did he, like, kick you out of bed after, or did he change his mind?" Jilly asks. "I snuck out before you woke up," Jeff admits. "God!" Jilly says, smacking Jeff in the arm. "You asshole! It made sense at the time!" Jeff protests. "And you bought a new fucking phone so you didn't have to deal with it," Jilly adds. Jeff nods jerkily. "You're basically a horrible human being," Jilly says. "Oh my God. Are you why Stoller was getting all those penalties? Was he, like, fucked in the head from you hitting and quitting?" Jeff doesn't answer. "So," Jilly says, "you don't get to stop there. This is better than Gossip Girl." "That show sucks," Jeff says. "It's more realistic than your absurd thing with an NHL player," Jilly says. "Why are you working out some kind of ridiculous rage boner on a pile of pucks?" "I gave Sarah my new number," Jeff says. "She's Eric's ex, you know, Joey's mom. And she must have given it to Eric." "He called you?" Jilly asks. "Not exactly," Jeff says. "Jordan did." "Jordan Stahl?" Jilly asks. "No," Jeff says, rolling his eyes. "Jordan Eberle." "Of course Jordan Stahl. He called me at 1 a.m. and basically told me Eric was in love with me." Jilly doesn't answer for a long moment. Then she starts snickering, and then full on laughing. "Oh God," she gasps. "What even?" Jeff tries to be angry, but after a moment, he's grinning too. "I know," he says. "What am I supposed to do with that?" "What do you want to do?" Jilly asks. "I mean, other than bang him like a screen door in a storm." Jeff just looks at her. "I'm going to pretend you didn't just say that," he says finally. "Whatever," Jilly says. "You know it's true." "I have no clue," Jeff says. I mean, it's complicated, okay? I'm into him." "Yeah," Jilly says. "You've been into him since you were 14. "Pretty much," Jeff says. "But he has a kid and a life, and I have no idea if it's going to work out." "I don't know why you're asking me this shit," Jilly says. "Seriously, my longest relationship was about 3 weeks. Ask Jen or something." Jen's answer would be to never see Eric again and let Erica beat the crap out of him, Jeff says. "Sounds about right," Jilly agrees. "But Jen likes to pretend she's our mom, too." "I think," Jeff says, "I think Mom was right about needing space, I mean. Living together made everything so much more intense." "Zero to married?" Jilly asks. Jeff nods. "Something like that." "But you want to be with him," Jilly says. "Yeah," Jeff agrees. "I really do." "So date," Jilly says, like it's the most obvious thing in the world. It sounds so easy when Jilly says it. "I guess," Jeff says. "Seriously," Jilly says, "you have the emotional maturity of a snail. And call him to say sorry for sneaking out like that. But not until after the game tomorrow. The Leafs need to take advantage of his emotional meltdown. The Canes PK is shitty, and the Leafs need to be able to draw penalties." "You're all heart," Jeff says. But he pulls Jilly into a quick hug. "Gross," Jilly says. "You're all sweaty. Take a shower." Jeff takes Jilly's advice and heads upstairs to shower. He's just getting dressed again and toweling his hair dry when he hears the doorbell ring. He doesn't think much about it, though. There are other people around. He's just throwing his towel into the laundry basket when Ben yells at him, Jeff, it's for you." Jeff guesses that someone from high school, or maybe someone from the skating club, has come over. So he throws his Leafs hoodie on and heads down the stairs. He sees who it is when he's halfway down and freezes. "Hi," Eric says. "I'm just going to go," Ben says. He smirks at Jeff and quirks an eyebrow before heading back into the kitchen. "Cam says I'm an idiot," Eric says. Jeff pulls himself together and manages to make it to the bottom of the stairs. "What?" he says. "I mean," Eric says, "I agree. But Cam says I'm an idiot and that I should come here and fix things." "I don't." Jeff isn't sure what he's going to say, but he doesn't have time to figure out before Eric cuts him off. "I lied," Eric says, "when I said it didn't have to mean anything. I was lying." "You," Jeff starts to say, but Eric keeps talking. "I should never have said that," he says. "I was lying. It meant everything, okay? I wanted it for so long, and I didn't want to scare you away. But it meant everything." "Me too," Jeff says. But it comes out strangled and quiet. He clears his throat and tries again. "Me too." "Really?" Eric says, and he sounds genuinely surprised. Of course, Jeff says. How could you... Of course. I thought you... Eric starts. When you left, I thought you were trying to let me down easily. I had these plans. I was going to drive you to the airport and finally talk to you and say... I don't know what I was going to say. But I was going to say something. I'm sorry, Jeff says. He's moving forward without really meaning to. And suddenly he's right there. And Eric's pulling him into a hug. Me too, Eric says. And he leans in to kiss Jeff. Jeff goes up on tiptoes so he can loop his arms around Eric's neck and kiss him back. Eric pulls away from Jeff and cups Jeff's face in his hands, smiling so wide. God, he says. Just, I... Yeah, Jeff says, and leans in for another kiss. The door from the kitchen bangs open. Mom! Jilly yells. Jeff is making out with Eric Stahl! Jeff pulls out of the kiss and glares at Jilly. But then his mom is right there. Oh, hi, Eric says, Mrs. Skinner. Hi. Jeff reaches down and grabs Eric's hand. Mom, he says, this is Eric. Hi, Eric says again, squeezing Jeff's hand so hard it hurts. Hi, Jeff's mom says. I've heard a lot about you, Eric. Eric looks so petrified that Jeff has to laugh. We were just about to eat lunch, Jeff's mom says. I suppose you should join us. Oh, no, Eric says. I couldn't. I mean, thank you, but I should be going. Jeff looks down at their linked hands and then up at Eric. Mom, he says, can you give us a minute? Jeff's mom tears her gaze away from glaring at Eric. Of course, she says, but Jeff gets the feeling that she'll be right by the kitchen door, listening to every word that they say. Can we... Jeff tugs at Eric's hand and leads him into the living room. Your mom hates me, Eric says. Jeff winces. Maybe. It's my fault, though. She's just a little overprotective. I never meant to hurt you, Eric says. I did, though, didn't I? It's not really a question. Jeff pulls Eric down and they sit on the couch, Jeff pressing against his side. Eric puts an arm around him, and Jeff can't help leaning in for another kiss. I hurt you too, Jeff says. We should stop doing that, Eric says. I think if we actually talk, we'll be good, Jeff says. Or, I hope so, I guess. It's not like I've done this before. We'll take it slow, Eric promises. Not too slow, Jeff says, before pulling Eric in for another kiss. Jeff almost forgets where they are and lets things get a little heated. Eric presses him down and Jeff wraps his arms around Eric's neck, trying to get as close as possible. He tangles his fingers in Eric's hair. Lunch, Jeff! His mom yells, and Eric pulls away from him. Oh, God, he says. Fuck, I shouldn't. Your mom is going to kill me. It's fine, Jeff says, running his fingers through Eric's hair to flatten it. Come and see me tonight? Eric asks. For sure, Jeff says. I'll sneak out. My mom will never know. He grins. God, Eric says. Please don't say stuff like that. You make me feel like I'm corrupting you. I'll see you later, Jeff says. He walks Eric to the front door, and even though he can see his mom watching them from the kitchen, he kisses Eric goodbye. So, Ben says, as Jeff watches Eric drive away in a car he must have rented from somewhere. Definitely the trophy wife option, then. Nah, Jilly says. He's just the babysitter. Even his mom's horrified expression can't stop Jeff from laughing. Something like that, he says. Epilogue. I can't believe you got the Falk jersey, Libby says, looking skeptically at Matt. I'm allowed to have my own favorite player, Matt says, crossing his arms a little defensively. Just because I haven't been into hockey since I was born. Whatever, Libby says. Cam Ward is clearly the best player on the Canes. Uh-oh, Joey says, from where he's standing next to Jeff. He's so tall now, it hardly seems possible that a year ago, Jeff had to hold him while he slept through the home opener. Other than your dad, Libby concedes. But that doesn't count because wearing your friend's boyfriend's jersey would be weird. Whatever, Matt says. Can we just go? I want to see warm-ups. Since when do you even like hockey? Jeff asks, checking his pockets for his keys and wallet, and opening the door to the garage to head everyone out to the car. Since I told him to learn, or I wouldn't date him, Libby says. It's fun to watch, Matt protests. Right, Jeff says. The ride to the RBC, PNC, arena is loud. Libby teaches Joey 99 bottles of beer on the wall. And Jeff is going to be paying for that for weeks. They head inside, and Joey holds Jeff's hand as they walk. There's so many people, Joey says. They all want to see your dad, Jeff says. But you hold my hand. I don't want you to lose me, okay? Yep, Joey says, and holds tightly onto Jeff's hand the whole time as they walk up to the box. Hey, Jeff, Candace Gleason says as they walk in. How are you doing? Did you have a good summer? She pulls Jeff into a quick hug. Jeff laughs. It's been good. I'm back in school now, though. Joey lets go of Jeff's hand and wanders off to where a couple of kids are playing Candyland. They look a little older than Joey, but they don't seem to mind when he sits down to watch them. I'll let you go look after your friends, Candace says, motioning towards Matt and Libby, who are both looking a little overwhelmed. But don't be a stranger, okay? Tim and I will have you and Eric over for dinner. Okay, Libby says. This is weird. Jeff shrugs. Not really. Everyone's really nice. You're like an actual adult, though, Libby says. I mean, no offense or whatever, just, it's kind of weird. Jeff! Joey yells. Jeff rolls his eyes. It's really glamorous, he says, and heads over to see what Joey wants. Jeff helps Joey get a burger and a glass of juice, and, out of the corner of his eye, watches as Matt and Libby stand at the edge of the box and watch the teams warm up. Matt has his arm around Libby's waist, and once in a while, he'll just look down at her and smile. By the time he has to go take his seat for the introduction of the players and the anthem, Jeff feels like he said hello to everyone in the state. Eric keeps saying they should have everyone over to cookout, but so far, Jeff's resisted. The idea of playing host to Eric's teammates and their families freaks him out a little. He doesn't even officially even live with Eric. Technically, he still shares an apartment with Libby, although he maybe sleeps there one night a week. "Hey, Jeff," Cody says from behind him. Jeff turns around and sees her standing with a tall, dark-haired woman. "Hey, Cody," Jeff says. "This is Natalie," Cody says, Justin's fiance. "Nice to meet you," Jeff says, reaching out to shake her hand. "Jeff is with Eric," Cody says. And no matter how many times Jeff hears that, he's always going to like the way it sounds. Jeff takes his seat, and the cheers as they introduce the players are deafening. Finally, it's Eric's turn, and Jeff whoops and looks down to see Joey cheering just as hard. Joey grins up at him, and Jeff smiles back at him. He's so lucky. KK sings the anthem, and then the players take to their spots for the opening face-off. Joey climbs into his lap as he watches Eric get set. "This is going to be awesome," Libby says. Jeff can't help but agree, and he holds Joey tight as the puck drops. The end.